Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call to your attention to the Fish and Wildlife Subcommittee. We'd like to begin. I'd like to note that we do have quorum. And this is, as mentioned in the past, this is the third of three subcommittee hearings we'd like to utilize to assemble our omnibus bill. We've spent the first meeting talking about the overview from DNR and walking through their bill. And last Thursday night, we spent some time listening to individual bills. Of course, we laid them over. And tonight we have before you Senate File 796, which will be the omnibus bill that includes much of that language. Before we get to that, though, we have one Senate file from Senator Hoffman, 963. And, Senator, if you'd like to walk us through that, and I'm sure we'll have some discussion. The plan, of course, would be to lay it over and then perhaps amend it on to Senate File 796. Without further ado, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The bill we're looking at tonight is to extend a rough fish, rulemaking spearing rough fish, and really is to what makes this a fun little bill is the fact that 80% of the fish that our folks go after for bow fishing happen to be carp. And what a great idea to think if folks are out there fishing and they happen to get a silver or a big head, don't you think it would be nice to know? And I think it's amazing that we're talking about it. So this basically just extends the bow fishing time for 2 months, the early season, 2 months, and it's anything south of Highway 210. And I can bring in Tim Spreck of the Minnesota Dark House Angling Association to the table for comment regarding that. So. If the committee so cares. Tim, come on up.
Welcome to the subcommittee again. Mr. Spreck, if you could just state your name for the record, of course.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I'm Tim Spreck, president of the Minnesota Dark House Angling Association. I thought you were introducing the bow fishing bill originally, so I'm a little off guard.
I
want to make sure we're on the right page.
Mr. Chair, my intent was to do the bow fishing, and then there's amendment too. Can I have 1 second?
Sure, that's no problem.
You want me to come back late?
Yeah, no, that's fine, Tim. I grabbed the wrong.
This is the bill.
My apologies.
Okay.
Thanks. I got way ahead of myself, Mr. Chair. I apologize.
That's no problem.
I'm also slated to go down to judiciary, too, as well. But bring it back. Senate file. This talks about the early bow fishing season for residents and non-residents is open only south of Highway 210, beginning the last Sunday in February to a Friday before the last Saturday in April. And there are two conditions that we talk about is only from a boat and then only while on a lake or on the Mississippi, Minnesota, or St. Croix rivers. And again, this extension just allows the bow fisher community to do what they do best, which is to get rid of some of our carp.
All right.
And that's all I got for it.
Well, thank you, Senator Hoffman. Are there any questions for members of the committee regarding this bill, Senate File 963? Any additional comment from anybody in the room here today? Offer testimony? Okay.
Mr. Chair, committee members, just for the record, my name is Brian Petch. I'm legislative liaison for the Land O'Lakes Bow Fishing Association. We fully support this. What you see in front of you tonight from Senator Hoffman is the great workings of us working with the Department of Natural Resources over the last 6 months. We're very excited for this opportunity, and we simply ask for your support.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. All right. If there's no further discussion on Senate File 963, I'd offer that we laid on the table for possible inclusion in 796. And that's it. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. All right, now we'll move into Senate File 796. We've assembled an omnibus bill here, so this does build off of the language that we heard from DNR to start this subcommittee process about a week ago. With that said, I'd like to turn it over to counsel here and Mr. Knopf to walk us through the changes that have been made.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the chair's delete everything amendment to Senate File 796. Section 1 was originally in Senate File 796. I won't go into any detail on these unless people have questions for that, because these were discussed the other night. Section 2 was also in Senate File 796 as it was introduced. And then Section 3 was also in the bill, but there was some concern about the way it was described. And so this has been modified slightly to make sure it refers to persons with a critical illness. Section 4 is from the Senate File 571. It's from the Eaton bill, Senator Eaton, and the Section 4 actually includes the amendment that was adopted by the subcommittee that night. Section 5 is also from that bill. We've got a number of sections now that were related to the invasive species bill. You'll see that in Section 6, Section 7, Section 8, Section 9, inspector authority. Those, again, were discussed the other night. Section 10 is also from that bill, so is 11 and 12. Same with 13 and 14, from the train for offenders. Section 15, this was also heard, Senator Schmidt's bill on the Minnesota-Wisconsin Boundary Area Invasive Species Commission, that's Senate File 580. And that is Section 15 was the bill that was discussed that night. Section 16 is a modified version of Senator Schmidt's Senate File 756 that includes all of the game and fish laws. So it's just a slight modification rather than just 97A. It includes B and C. B is hunting and C is fishing. Sections 17 and a number of sections here are also from Senator Eaton's bill, Senate File 571, that deal with defining watercraft and expanding the duck hunting or the duck boat provision to all waterfowl. So that's 17, 18, 19, and 20 is a training. That was also for Senator Eaton's bill. Senate 21 deals with the waterfowl hunting season and waterfowl boats. Section 22 deals with that. 23 and 24 was in the original game and fish bill. Senate File 25 was also in the original game and fish, dealing with aquatic management areas and cooperative farming agreements. Section 26 was included. Section 27. This is from Senator Bonoff. She had a bill that just made them all permanent. This was after discussions with Senator Bonoff and the chair. This is modified to allow for annual or permanent, but it does require this was unsaid before, but it makes it abundantly clear that a person that has one of these permanent licenses must register and receive tags each year, because the deer tags are you have to have that when you're deer hunting. And then Section 28, it was in the original bill. The only thing is in the head note, I struck angling since we're getting into spearing too. Section 29, DNR had some additions that they sent over, some things that weren't included in their original bill. Section 29 is one of those that deals with exempting residents age 16 or 17 from taking fish by spearing without a license. Section 30 was in the original bill and deals with the President's Hunter validation. Section 31 was in the original bill. Section 32 was in the original bill. Section 33 is again, DNR sent over some changes related to spearing. Section 33 also, now this is a new section. If you look on page 17, you'll see the new paragraphs C and D dealing with non-residents. C is for 16 or 17, and D is for underage 16, allowing them to take spearing without a spearing license, although the non-residents age 16 or 17 would have to buy the $5 fishing license. Under 16 do not need any license to spear, but they would have to. There are, if you look in top of the page, in the existing law clauses 1, 2, and 3, they have to have their limits. Their limits would have to be as specified in those clauses. And then Section 34, this was in the original bill and dealing with some additional license changes, again, that were discussed the other night. Section 35, and non-resident hunting, was in the original bill. Section 36 was another addition that the DNR sent over, and they think that when the license fees were changed last year, that the super sport license was a little bit high, and so these were adjusted, but apparently On further reflection, the department has feels that those should be reduced a little bit, so to take into account the license fees for all the individual licenses that would be under a super sport license. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 37 is from the original bill dealing with the issuing fees, and Section 38 on page 21, these were also the trespass law changes that were in the original bill that were discussed the other night. Section 40 is again that change to the discharge of firearms that was discussed the other night. Section 41 was in the original bill. Section 42 was in the original bill. Section 43 was. Section 44, this is from Senator Saxhog's bill, Senate File 627. That was heard the other night, dealing with ground blinds and requiring some display of blaze orange. Section 45 was from the original bill. Section 46 was from the original bill. Section 47, dealing with nighttime restrictions on motors for bow fishing. Section 48 on the rulemaking was in the original bill. Section 49 was in the original bill. Section 50 is something new to members, and let me finish walking through, but I think that the chair would want to talk a little bit about Section 50 and his amendment. And then, Mr. Chair and members, Section 51 is, again, something the DNR sent over. Well, you wouldn't necessarily notice that there's a missing piece from what was in the bill the other night, dealing with the DNR being able to get a civil penalty for people who have their cervidae herds released them or on other animals when the DNR has to go out and capture them. There was some concern about whether that they need to go to court or not. So what the DNR suggested is just to delete that section for now, and that they go back and report by next January on basically on how to assess the costs when somebody has animals that have been released and the DNR needs to go out and take those animals, either capture or kill, how to pay for that. So that replaces that section that seemed to be a little troubling in their original bill. Section 52, that was from Senator Eaton's bill, dealing with the duck boats and waterfowl boats again, from Senate File 571. And the repealers, you'll see on 28.16, the 84DO1 sub 22, that's from Senator Eaton's bill. The 97A.451, so that's dealing with the youth or exemption. That was in the original bill. And the 97C.346 on 28.17, this was, again, another DNR recommendation that was sent over, and it provides it eliminates the current rule prohibition on releasing carp or buffalo back to the water. They are recommending repealing that. And then paragraph B on 28.18, this was Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill dealing with eliminating the lakes where spearing is prohibited. The list of, I think it was eight or nine lakes that we discussed the other night. So that's from Senate File 620, Senator Ingebrigtsen. And, Mr. Chair, that's the end of the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Knopf. That was a thorough rundown of what we're dealing with here in our omnibus bill, Senate File 796. I'd just like to draw your attention quickly, because I didn't want to give the impression that we're trying to sneak anything in here. I did have an amendment to offer myself tonight, and rather than run from one side of the table to the next, we simply put in the bill, and that would be Section 50 on page 26. Mr. Knopf had drawn your attention to that earlier. But essentially what we're doing here is we're establishing some specific standards here for permitting water use in what's known as the karst geography of southeastern Minnesota. It's the driftless region. It's a region that's defined by a lot of porous limestone with a lot of silica sand deposits and relatively, I guess, easy access to the water table and aquifer in that area. And there's a lot of concern with the potential for heightened silica sand mining in the area, that we make sure that we protect one of Minnesota's greatest resources, and that's a great concentration of the best trout fishing in Minnesota, if you ask me. And we have a lot of different trout streams and brooks and creeks down there, and we want to make sure that we get some standards in place that allow for mining without risking the health of these trout streams. So what we have here in paragraph A here is essentially just prohibition of mining or related activities within 1 mile of any spring or groundwater, seepage area, fen, etc. Secondly, in paragraph B here, we have have a prohibition against permitting for groundwater use for silica sand mining and related activity. And third here in these given counties, we have a requirement that any activity does not get within 25 feet of the groundwater table, and that's to respond to specific needs in this given topology of karst region. I'd be happy to stand for any questions from committee members, but I just wanted to draw your attention to that rather than run around from one side of the table to the other. With that said, I'd be happy. Any questions regarding this provision in the bill or anything related to our omnibus Senate file 796?
Yes,
Senator Brown, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just a question on Section 50. Is the moratorium not going to take care of this issue?
Well, the issue is that we were looking for some specific standards, and these, in working with Trout Unlimited and some other groups, these are some standards that arose that would protect these trout streams in the water there. I guess there's no sure bet in terms of what may happen with other legislation this session, so this is a way of introducing some specific standards for a specifically sensitive region of the state. And if there's any, additional questions, I'd be happy to stand for those. But that's what this is intended to accomplish here.
Mr. Chair, may I just add
a question? Mr. Knopf, please.
The moratorium has a limitation. This would provide permanent law, unless changed by the legislature down the road, for standards in that area that would go on beyond any moratoria that would be in this area.
Please, Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair. So if the moratorium didn't pass, I don't know how plentiful these bodies of water or springs are down there. Is this essentially going to shut down silica sand mining altogether? Or
No. Okay. That's a good,
I don't know that area that
that's
well.
A fair question. That's certainly not the intention here. Really, yeah. We were very very careful to specify an appropriate level here to protect the streams and protect the water. There's plenty of sand that can be, mined down in that area with abiding by these standards. And I just to be fully upfront and honest with folks, I mean, it's really to protect the water here and the trout streams.
Mr. Knopf. But I can just clarify, too. If you look at that, it's a long effective date. Sorry about that. But what this says is that this is a special local law. It needs to be approved by the local unit of government that it applies to. So what it does in here is so each county would have to approve it before this would become effective within that county.
Okay.
Yeah, that may be the most important point of all. So thank you, Mr. Knopf. I mean, we're not mandating anything here. Essentially, what we're saying is these are some standards that we have identified as being useful to this particular geography. And if a county would like to adopt them, they can.
Okay.
So just so I get this straight, maybe I'm rephrasing this, Mr. Chair. So you're
Senator
saying
Osmond?
That these provisions don't only apply to counties that inflict it upon themselves?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, we're identifying these, and if the county would like to adopt it in their ordinance, they can.
And Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
Senator Osmond, it's only those six counties, too, that it can apply to. There are six counties that are named. They are contiguous. They fit within the constitutional provision, but it would take effect in each county separately. All six don't have to adopt it. If one county decides to adopt it, these provisions would be in effect in that county under state law.
Thank you, Mr. Knopf. Senator Osmond?
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm a little concerned that we're adding this when it really is. I understand what you're saying with protecting springs and fishing and trout streams. I just would prefer that it would be within the scope of the silica sand bill. I guess it's coming out at this point in time confuses me and raises concern that we're putting in here section B shall not issue, but by what legal counsel is saying is this is a self-inflicted situation where they can control it themselves. I just think I'm just very concerned with how careful we are being with silica sand type legislation that we're all of a sudden throwing it into a DNR bill.
Thank you, Senator Osmond. I mean, the concept here is really we have great trout fishing in southeastern Minnesota, and this is a DNR bill with Game and Fish. And I think we wanted to make sure, if we take anything from this session, that we're able to protect that vital resource. And this seemed to be the appropriate bill to be introducing this concept. And again, we're essentially just empowering local decision makers to adopt this. If they choose not to, they're not bound to do so. And there is, you know, it's pretty straightforward here. We're not trying to introduce something that can be used in a different way down the road. It, in my view, with the silica sand discussion that has taken place this session, I could not address the threat to our trout streams. I could not pass on the opportunity to address the threat to our trout streams in this bill. So that's why that section was added. If in case we do nothing else on silica sand this session, at least we've addressed some concerns with our trout streams in our freshwater.
Do we know how much area overall the one-mile setback would cover? And I'm a little concerned there doesn't seem to be anybody here to give testimony for or against. Were people aware of this being in the bill?
You know, no. It was added. It was at Senator Brown. It was added late in the picture here. It was kind of a late idea. That's all. So there's no intention to hide it. Again, the counties have the opportunity to adopt this. If they choose not to, that's all right. They don't need to.
Will this surface in the main committee?
Yeah, so the next stop is it'll go to the main committee, the Environment and Energy Committee. And then after that, you know, if there's differences between our bills, it will be conferenced out. So this is by no means the last that we will hear of this provision.
So there will be opportunity for testimony in main.
Absolutely. And that's the only way I would have it. I'm not trying to sneak anything in here. It's just a matter of raising this as an issue that I believe pertains to the game and fish legislation this session. First of all, Senator, Mr. Knopf, did you have something to add?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add that this bill will be going to the State and Local Government Committee. We've got a number of rule provisions in here.
That's right.
So that'll be another stop, too, but it will be heard in the full committee here. Then from there, it would have to go to the State and Local Government Committee because of the rule provisions that are in here.
Thank you, Mr. Knopf. And again, the only reason it was added today is just to have this conversation and to raise the issue. So that's simply the inspiration behind it. Yes, Senator Eden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, did you choose to do it this way, or are we not allowed to dictate this to that area?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Knopf, I'd like to defer to your expertise.
Chair,
here.
The Constitution says that you can't have a special law that applies to a specific area of the state unless there are certain conditions that you can do it. One is if the local unit of government that it applies to approves it. If it's over a million in population, you can do it there. We have a general law that says that. Or you have to that's basically the two options. If it's a law that allows them to do something beyond current law, that's okay because then they choose to do that. But generally, I looked at this as a special local law and thought that it needed to have the local approval by the counties because I know there aren't over a million people in these six counties.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Senator Eaton.
Well,
yes, Senator Brown, please.
Senator Eaton brings up a good point. Why, if this is good for this six county area, why wouldn't we want to make it for the entire state?
Yeah. That's a great question, Senator Brown. This particular geography that's defined by these counties is known as the Driftless Area of Minnesota, and there's a very unique topology that's known as the karst topology, and you have a lot of limestone that has a tendency to erode and break down, and the fear here is that you have a buffer of sand above that area. By removing the sand, you gain access further to the water table, the aquifer below. And, you know, there's a lot of sinkholes in this area. There's a lot of quick, easy access, relatively speaking, to the water table. And this is an area that's very sensitive. And that's why we've had a lot of concern about mining generally in that area. It happens to be an area with great trout fishing, great streams, but they're all sensitive to access to that water table. So that's why we focused in on this given geography. And it really, you can look at a map and you can see the Driftless Area and the karst geography in Minnesota, and these counties comprise that area. And again, this is just, you know, the reason it was put in here is because, given the, the great fishing, to be frankly honest with you, in this part of the region, the sensitivity of this particular topology with the karst topology, this seemed like an appropriate place to enter in these standards. And again, the counties may decide not to impose them, but we thought that we would identify and flag this for discussion. And I understand your concern. If it would have dawned on me to do this a week ago, I would have had it as a separate bill, and we would have treated it different at that point. Appreciate the question. So, any others regarding Section 50 or any other part of our omnibus bill here? We can certainly revisit Section 50 if there are more questions down the road.
My question was answered.
With that said, is there anyone in the audience who'd like to speak to Senate File 796? Oh, we do have an amendment. You know, sure. You know, Tony, if you don't mind, I think we do have an amendment that we would like to move today. Senator Hoffman, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Absolutely. And Tim, I bring Tim Spreck to the table, yeah, Mr. Chair, if that's a possibility.
Or was it in the packet?
This specifically goes on rulemaking for spearing rough fish, Mr. Chair, and if the Mr. Chair and the committee would mind, Mr. Spreck, go ahead and say who you are. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Spreck, if you have anything to add regarding this amendment, feel free.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I'm Tim Spreck, president of the Minnesota Dark House Angling Association. There's a lot of wording in this bill, and I'll address a couple concerns that you may have. The reason this came about is because the spring sucker spearing season is very important for a lot of our members. When the sucker run in the spring, you're able to spear them in the creeks. And as a result of the warming trends that we've experienced over the last decade or so, by the time the season opens on May 1st, the run has already taken place. So most of the time, the guys are out there in the creeks and on the opening day, and there's nothing there for them. The spring sucker spearing is an important piece because it provides an opportunity for family activity, teaching the youngsters the traditions and the ethical and responsible harvest. And suckers are an excellent food source, and when they're smoked, they're very good. So what this particular amendment does is it addresses one piece in statute and one piece in rulemaking. The piece in statute would allow you to possess a spear on or in the proximity of water to coincide with the earlier opening date. The ability to possess a spear is very carefully regulated. The second piece in rulemaking changes the date from May 1st to the last Saturday in April. And what it does is it gives us roughly 3.5 days on average for additional opportunity. It opens on a Saturday so that people can get out with their families and partake of this traditionally important sport. It's non-controversial. The DNR has given their support to this. We worked through the process with them, so I'd be glad to answer any questions, but I don't see any problems with this and would encourage you to move it through.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spreck. Any other comment or testimony regarding this amendment? Okay, any discussion regarding the amendment? With that, I would entertain a motion from Senator Hoffman.
Absolutely.
To amend Senate File 796 through the 813 amendment we have before us. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. And the amendment is adopted.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spreck. At this point, we should probably take up, if I have a motion, to take up Senate File 963 as an amendment and add that to Senate File 796. Senator Hoffman, would you like to move?
Yep.
Any discussion on that? We just heard of Senate File 963. Without discussion, all those in favor of amending Senate File 963 onto Senate File 796, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, say no. And the amendment carries. It is adopted. All right. With that said, we would open up Senate File 796 as amended for any additional testimony. Mr. Quillis, would you like to speak to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tony Quillis, and I think I'm going to be able to get a threefer here. The first hat I'm going to wear is I represent the Itasca County Dark House Association. I'd like to echo Mr. Spreck's comments and thank you for that amendment, number one. Number two, I also represent the Minnesota Elk Breeders Association, and I want to thank Senator Schmidt. There was some and Mr. Meyer and Mr. Bogus from the Department of Natural Resources, there in the original language before the DE, there was some language concerning taking of wild animals and agricultural animals in the state of Minnesota that had escaped from their owner. We had some questions about that, and that was removed. But Mr. Chairman, Section 51, dealing with a report to the legislature and the Farm Service Advisory Committee, we thank the DNR again for pointing that out, and I'm going to commit to you publicly, and I've committed to Mr. Bogus and Mr. Meyer that And I've had some conversations with the Board of Animal Health, Dr. Anderson, Dr. Hartman there, that this is going to be on their agenda. We don't think that there's legislative language needed to do this. The Farm Servity Advisory Committee is going to do that, and we've committed to do that and have this discussion with them. So we just don't think that Section 51 is needed, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr.
Understanding that, you know, there's a full committee stop, as Mr. Knopf pointed out, the state and local government along the way also. So there's other stops that we can have this conversation with Mr. Bogus and I. But I just wanted to point out that we don't think that Section 51 is needed.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Quillis. We appreciate it.
And then finally, Mr. Chairman, now I'm going to put on my Chamber of Commerce hat as the Director of Environmental Policy for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'm still trying to process Section 50, and it'll take me a while to do it. I understand that it is effective upon enactment by those counties, but if you'll go through some of the concerns that we have would be specifically on 27.8, where it says the Commissioner of Natural Resources shall not issue a water use permit for appropriation for groundwater in those counties. I'm going to have to look and see how many groundwater appropriation permits are granted by the DNR right now in there, but that seems to be concerning to us. And so I'll have to go through. There's a couple other sections there that I'm going to have to go back and process, but I just wanted to be on the record, Mr. Chairman, that there are some concerns there, and we'll work with you. We've been working very well in the process as this has gone through, but there are some concerns dealing with Section 50.
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Quillis. I'd be happy to chat with you personally offline here as this bill makes its way through the committee process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you, sir. Any other testimony? Or Senator Eaton?
I just had a question that he brought up. Did you check to see if there are current permits in place for groundwater?
There are current permits, yes, Senator Eaton.
Okay.
And I'd be happy if you have specific questions, we can certainly address
those
outside of committee.
Well, I'm just confused. If it says you can't issue them and there are some in place, is that going to jeopardize the ones in place?
This is intended only to move forward in the process. So, and again, it would be all contingent upon a county approval. All right, but nonetheless, if there are questions, we can certainly address those between now and airing of this bill in full committee. Which I should say will be heard, the idea upon passage, this bill will be heard in the Environment and Energy Committee this Thursday, actually. Okay. So moving this through quickly. Is there any other testimony, either in favor or support, any questions regarding Senate File 796? Please.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, I'm Ed Bogus, Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Department of Natural Resources, and I just wanted to go on the record that we support the spearing and bow fishing language, as was mentioned earlier. Also, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, on page 14, the permanent license for the disabled veterans. We did go back after the hearing on Senator Bonhoff's bill and looked at this issue and feel that we could have a dual system. I'm not sure if this language quite, and it may be semantics on how, on terminology that we're using here, but currently permanent or lifetime licenses are issued out of our license center in St. Paul because, you know, if we're going to be documenting something for somebody to have for the rest of their life, we do that centrally rather than distribute it out across 1,500 agents with high school clerks and people like that issuing licenses. So the way I'm reading this, it would allow, or it would require that we allow any agent to issue a permanent license, and I think we would have some concern about that piece of it. Also, the way we would do this and the way we had proposed some language to do this would be to basically issue a card that's the equivalent of the card that we give to a lifetime license holder that then allows them to present that card to an agent and get their license. So when this says the tags must be received each year and shall be issued at no charge, the way the system would do that would be to just print them out a deer license with the tags and the registration slip and all that with it. So it would comply with this. It would be a little more than what this is requiring us to do. So I'm just, this may work, and we certainly agree with the spirit of this language, but we we may want to, I'd like to talk to our license people and just see if we need any adjustments to this language.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Boggess. We have a question from Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Boggess, when you said that this would require that you have all of your license issuing agents issue this permanent license, if you look at what we do now for disabled veterans for angling, it does say may issue a license without let me find the right one here. A person authorized to issue licenses must issue without a fee a permanent license to take fish by angling. And I think you still do those in the commissioner's office, even though it says that.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Knopf, I was going to pull that up, but I didn't quite have time to do it. So, because I had a feeling we had the same language for fishing, but we don't do it at every agent. So,
right. So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Rogers, I think it would just be the same thing.
Right, right. We may want to fix it in two places.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Knopf, and thank you, Mr. Boggess. Is there any more discussion or questions from members of the committee here?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to Senator Osmick. Propose an amendment. Strike Section 50, please.
Okay. There's a motion on the table to strike Section 50. I could just speak to that if I could. I entered this in the bill, and I apologize. We didn't have a hearing with a separate bill last Thursday night. It was a late idea. Just wanted to start the conversation. We'll have an opportunity to address this in full committee and down the road. So I will speak against that amendment. But with that said, I'd allow a discussion on the amendment from my colleagues here. Sorry,
I would just like to speak in favor of Section 50. My only concern about it is that we can't mandate it.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Eden. And Senator Osmick, did you have anything further to say on your amendment?
I appreciate the fact you've got in here that this is voluntary because it does put the power into the local jurisdictions. That's something that I talked about on the on the moratorium. So I appreciate that. The problem is that there's a lot of unknowns, lingering questions I have in my mind. How big of an impact is this? I'd like to know from the piece, the MPCA, how many springs are we talking about? How much groundwater? How much of an impact? We could be basically wiping out an entire county if we didn't know what we were doing. I don't appreciate, I appreciate what you want to do, but I don't believe this should leave a committee without us knowing what we're doing. And I think at this point we probably don't have all the information we need to make an educated decision on Section 50. That's the reason.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Osmick. I appreciate your concern. And we'll have an opportunity in energy and environment to discuss this, and we'll be sure we have some folks who can speak to it in more detail. Again, I just emphasize the fact that this is voluntary. Counties can opt into it, and I think that's an important provision of this. Any other – I guess with that said, there is an amendment before us. We have an motion or – okay. I mean, we should probably entertain any additional discussion regarding the amendment. Okay. I guess in that case, I would ask that all those in favor of Senator Osmick's amendment to strike Section 50 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed to the amendment to strike Section 50, please say nay.
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 And the nays have it. The amendment is not adopted. Thank you, Senator Osmick. Any additional? Yes, Senator Brown.
Can you, Mr. Knopf, maybe you can, but line 27.8 on page 27. Can you explain that to me again? It sounds to me like the Commissioner of Natural Resources has the right to not issue water permits whether the county agrees to it or not.
Well, Mr. Chair, you have to remember that this whole section doesn't become effective in any county. If you look at the effective date, this even though there's language that in the law that would say this, without it being effective in that county based on the effective date, if they haven't passed it in a timely manner at the county board, and then the clerical officer has to put it into the Secretary of State, if they haven't gone through that the local law process, it's not effective in that county.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Thank you, Mr. Knopf. Any other questions or discussion regarding Senate file 796? Yes, Mr. Knopf.
I just want to address Senator Eaton's comment before about not about disapplying. There are other ways to do this. What was given to me was the named list of counties. I mean, if you said that you can't do this in any karst areas, let's say with karst geography or something like that, if we do something broad, but whenever you want to apply it just to specific counties, then we need to go through this process generally for whenever you're providing additional restrictions in those counties that general law doesn't take care of.
Are there always trout streams by Carson?
you know, that's a good question, Senator.
Because I don't know if that would be appropriate.
I think we could get her to change her vote on the amendment.
Hey, this is a democratic process.
Motion to reconsider is in order?
No, I mean, in the driftless area in Carson topologies, typically there's great trout fishing. So, I mean, that's the case here in southern Minnesota. And again, I'd just like to assure members that is the impetus behind this is you know, there's a lot of debate and discussion over silica sand mining, but it does happen to be an area with great trout fishing as well. We want to make sure we're protecting those waters or at least giving our counties the ability to do so. Any other discussion or questions on Senate File 796? Otherwise, thank you, Mr. Knopf, for your clarifications. And
do we have to vote on this to move it to the main committee?
Yes. That's exactly what we're leading up to here. Do I have a motion?
Do I want? Yeah, no, I mean, that's my one. I'm okay with the entire bill except Section 50. So I just don't know how I'm going to vote.
That's just it.
Okay.
I would move the whole bill and move it to the. We're going to the whole committee, right?
Yeah. Environment. So there's a motion to move Senate File 796 to full Committee of Energy and Environment. As amended, yep, to move Senate File 796 as amended to the Energy and Environment Committee. Again, the intention would be to hear this bill in the full committee on Thursday, and I can assure you that we'll be able to offer full treatment to Section 50. So we have a motion on the table. Any discussion regarding the motion? Otherwise, all those in favor of sending Senate File 796 and passing it as amended, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
And the ayes have it, 3-2. The bill Senate File 796, as amended, is passed on to the full committee. Thank you for your participation in this process, and I know we're giving up three busy nights here in a busy part of the session. So thank you very much. We will adjourn the subcommittee. Thank you.